Proverbs 29:11. A foolish person lets his anger run wild, but a wise person keeps himself under control. Proverbs 29:11. Proverbs 16:16. How much better it is to get wisdom than gold, and good judgment than silver. Proverbs 16:16. Proverbs 11:2. When pride comes, then comes disgrace, but with humility comes wisdom. Proverbs 11:2. Psalm 118, verse 8. It is better to trust in the word of the Lord than to put confidence in man. Psalm 118, verse 8. And Psalm 19:14. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. Psalm 19:14. Would you open your Bibles this morning, please, to the book of Romans, chapter 5, verse 2. Romans chapter 5, verse 2. Our purpose for being here today, as always, is to open our hearts and minds to the wonderful Word of God. The Word of God is alive and powerful. It is sharper than any two-edged sword. We have the responsibility of having a capacity for life. And the way we have a capacity for life is for us to be properly related to the Lord Jesus Christ and to His wonderful Word. So we spend a moment in prayer before we begin our scripture reading for today. May we pray together, please. Father, we rejoice in the fact that we're your children. We realize that salvation is a gift from God through Jesus Christ. We've accepted that gift, and as a result of that, we have the assurance that heaven is our eternal home. This is not because of anything we've done, any goodness on our part, but totally because of the fact that we've accepted that magnificent gift, the gift of salvation through Jesus Christ. We're here today once again to advance spiritually, and so we pray that you will guide us in these moments of study. May we have open minds and open hearts to these wonderful scriptures, and we thank you for every blessing. In Jesus' name, amen. If you'll open your Bibles to Romans chapter 5, we're going to read verses 1 through 5. Romans chapter 5, verses 1 through 5. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have obtained our introduction by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we exult in hope of the glory of God. Romans 5, verse 3, and not only this, but we also exult in our tribulations, knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance. And perseverance, proven character. And proven character, hope. Romans chapter 5, verse 5, and hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit, who was given to us. On the screen you see, and on the back of today's bulletin you have, Romans chapter 5, verse 2. This is a magnificent verse. What I'd like to do is to begin today by spending a few moments exegeting this wonderful verse. If you'll notice, it says, through whom also we have had access by faith into this grace in which we stand. What I need to tell you at the outset is that every word in this verse is very important. It seems to me that I need to point out the fact that all of us can come to a point in life where we do not have capacity, real capacity for life. That simply means that what happens in our lives is that we do not advance properly. We do not grow in grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. And as a result of that, oftentimes a soul is empty and does not contain that which it needs to contain for there to be joy and peace and contentment and happiness in life. And so we're today going to discuss the subject, how to fill an empty soul. I believe that is presented to us very beautifully in Romans chapter 5, verse 2. Let me begin by telling you that the verse starts off like this. Through whom also we have had access by faith into this grace in which we stand. It seems to me that it is impossible for me to stop on each individual word without first of all taking the first clause and letting you go all the way through it to see the meaning there. I've read it several times now and I want to repeat, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand. Now, if you put all those words together and then begin to separate them, you will begin to see how fantastic this is. The very first little word that is used in the original text is a Greek preposition, through. Now, what you have to do is go back and look at verse 1, which says, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We already analyzed that verse. I have it on the screen for you again. Let's look at it for just a few moments. Having been justified, therefore, by faith, we have peace with God through the Lord of us, Jesus Christ. I think we've taken enough time to analyze this, but I want you to see again that this verse of Scripture, the Apostle Paul writing to the Romans, is telling us in our day that we've been justified by faith. As a result of having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Since we've already analyzed this, I do not need to spend a lot of time in repetition other than to remind you that the word faith there means confidence and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. I need to remind you that the word peace is the Greek word irene, which simply means that God gives joy and contentment and happiness if we will only allow that to take place in our lives. And then if you'll notice, it says we have this. And that's an emphasis upon continuation. It says we continue to have this joy and peace and contentment. And we have it face to face. And that's the reason why we have this beautiful word. And I point it out to you now. It is the word pros, P-R-O-S, which means face to face. Face to face, and then it says, with the God. And then we have again the preposition dia, through. And then we have the beautiful words, the Lord, and then of us, and then Jesus and Christ. Many times we've pointed out to you, and I repeat even now, that this is an emphasis upon all members of the Godhead, that our salvation has been provided for us by means of all the members of the Godhead, which is an emphasis upon the Father, it's an emphasis upon the pre-existent Christ, the existent Christ, the eternal Christ, and this is an emphasis upon the fact that all facets of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, is involved in our salvation. That means that He's Lord, ruler, master. It means that He is Jesus, the emphasis on humanity, and then upon Christ, which is the fact that He is the anointed one or the appointed one. An understanding of Romans 5:1 helps us to appreciate Romans 5:2. This emphasizes now through whom also we have had access by faith into this grace in which we stand. I need to remind you today that the word we have had access. There are different translations of this verse, and I'm sure that you're probably looking perhaps at the King James or some other translation. But I want you to see that the verse says, through whom also we have had access by faith. The word have had access is, of course, as you can see again, that beautiful little Greek word, echo, which means to have and to hold. I stop for just a moment to let you see that the way the word is used is so fantastic. It is a perfect tense verb, which simply means we have had access to this grace in the past. It's been consummated in the past, and the result of that consummation continues to this very present moment. If you haven't already picked up on that, there's an emphasis upon the eternal security of the believer. That's the reason why we have beautifully presented to us the perfect tense verb. Through whom, Jesus Christ, also we have had access by faith. Now also I need to remind you that the word face to face or have had access, the word for verb, which means to have, is this word here, echo. But I also need to remind you that the word that precedes it is the Greek word prosago, which is an interesting word indeed because that word means access. It means approach. It means face to face. It means a relationship with God whereby we are acceptable to Him. Now, let me tear this word down for you for just a few moments. If you'll notice that in the previous verse, I emphasized the fact that we have peace with God, and I use the word right here, which is in the original text, P-R-O-S, which means face to face. If you'll look at that and now look at this word, you will see that that very same word is used in a compound word here. And so we have P-R-O-S, which means face to face. Now, I also need to tell you that the next three letters, A-G-O, is the Greek word which means to go. And so when you look at those two put together, it means to go face to face with the Heavenly Father. So this says, through whom also we have had access by faith into this grace in which we stand. I need to tell you again that the word face to face means we have access. It means that we have an approach with God. It's face to face with Him. And we have a relationship with Him whereby we are acceptable to Him. Could I stop for just a second or two to remind you of what took place when you accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior? God worked a miracle, a magnificent miracle in your life, and you and I need to stop and think about this miracle. God worked the miracle of transformation. God worked the miracle of salvation. God made it possible for you to know without doubt that heaven is your eternal home. It's not because of your goodness. It is not because of your badness. It is not because of your church relationship. It is not because you're trying to keep the Ten Commandments. It is because you've accepted the person of Jesus Christ as your Savior. And God, the Holy Spirit, worked the miracle of transformation in your life. And you became the recipient of imputed righteousness. And that's the miracle that you and I must see. We have access. And it's a perfect tense verb, which means that the moment we accepted Jesus Christ, God worked that miracle. He did a good job. He consummated that miracle. And that miracle is still in existence in your life at this very moment. Oh, I can get excited about this, and I think you should, because you and I must know that God has worked the miracle of regeneration. And this tells us something so beautifully, and I haven't gotten there yet, but I'm getting there in a few moments. Through whom, Jesus Christ, also we have had access by faith into this grace. Now, we could spend an entire service on the subject grace of God. We may have to do that in the next service. But let's go on into this grace in which we stand. What I'd like for you to do with me now is take a little time to look at what we have here in this Greek word, istemi. Here it is the word stand. If you look on the back of your bulletin, if you can't see this very well, here's the word stand. And I want to find out how the word is used in the original text. So I found out so that I could put it down for you to see. And I want you to see that the Greek word for stand is H-I-S-T-E-M-I. We're going to spend a little time there because I want you to see how unique that particular word is. If you look at that word, you will see, and I've already described it for you, it's like this word up here. The perfect tense up here, perfect active indicative. The word here is perfect active indicative. If you'll go up here, you'll see that this is a first person plural of echo. If you look down here, you will see this is the first person plural of isteme. Isteme, stand. Wonderful, beautiful word. Think with me now. This is God's grace. And this is saying that you and I, as a result of our acceptance of Jesus Christ, have walked into and taken our stand in the midst of His magnificent grace. It doesn't say that we step with one foot in it and one foot outside. It doesn't say that we run through it. It doesn't say we run in, back out of it. Are you willing to see what I'm having to say to you? This is a perfect tense verb. And so I want to give you some synonyms, and you want to write this down. It means to make yourself firm in that grace. To stand firm, that's one of the synonyms. Another way that we could describe this is the word place or put. We could use the word endure, another word that describes what takes place when you accepted Jesus Christ as Savior. Another word that describes it or expression is cause to stand. In other words, when you accepted Jesus Christ as Savior, God caused you to stand in His grace. Another word that would describe this is that God placed you in the grace of God and set you there. So the word set could be used. Now, what I tried to do in order to be able to explain this, I said to myself, self, now you need to tell those folk that that word is histeme. And so I wrote it out so that I could properly pronounce it for you. I jotted HISTAYMEE. Now, you didn't need to know that, but that was for me to help you to know that I have learned how to pronounce the word histeme. And so now you know. And so there's the word. But what does it mean? I've given you a few definitions. I've given you a few synonyms. But I haven't given you the most important ones. What happened when God worked the miracle of salvation? He fixed you and established you in the grace of God. So there's another synonym, fix or establish. Another definition would be make firm. Make firm. Another definition is keep intact. Keep intact. All of these are beautiful synonyms that describe. And then I found one that I thought was exceeding all of them. And it is to continue safe and sound. When we walk into God's grace, accept Jesus Christ as Savior, God works the miracle of salvation. He gives us His grace, and we continue there, safe and sound. Well, I smiled while I read that, and I just wanted to laugh while I read that, because I felt like if I could share that with you, you would have an appreciation for God's grace like what you've never had before. And then I looked at that word again. I found another expression that describes it. Stand unharmed. Stand in the grace unharmed. And then I found this expression. To stand in that grace prepared. Now I want to stop on that one to let you know that I've been with some of you folks in recent days through various experiences. And I want you to understand that the experiences have not all been pleasant. Some of them have been trying, and some of them have been very heart-rendering to all of us. And yet this scripture says that we have walked into this grace, and we stand prepared. And I thought how wonderful that is for me to be able to share that with you today. And then I said, is there anything else that I can find here? And I found one more, and I've got to give this one to you. It says, when you walk into this grace, you're fixed, you're established, you continue there safe and sound. And then it says, you do not waver. Oh my, that was the one I thought was so fantastic. Now let me go on very quickly to show you how fantastic this verse is. It says, and I'm reading it with you now, through whom, Jesus Christ, also we have had access. We've had it in the past. It's been consummated in the past. We have it now. Tomorrow we'll have it. If we fail God tomorrow, if we sin against Him, which we will, we still have it. And it's by faith. It's into this grace in which we stand. What I've discovered is that oftentimes you and I don't always do what we should do. We don't always say what we should say. And there are times as a result of our lack of capacity and the fact that our soul is not filled with God's Word and God's thinking as it should be. And we're not in right harmony and fellowship with the Lord. We're not filled with the Holy Spirit. Oftentimes, we will use our tongues to say things that we shouldn't say. Now, I don't want to let you think that I think for one moment that you're guilty of this. I'll just have to say that this is only true of the pastor. But if you want to apply it to yourself, you may do so, and I trust that you will. It says, I know I need to ask God for the strength to make amends to the individuals that I may have hurt with my words. In other words, the emphasis here is upon the improper use of the words. I got this through, as one sent it to me, to the email. And it says, how often I open my mouth before I think. How many times have I had to ask for forgiveness for words that have slammed into someone's face or even behind their back? Those words can never really be retrieved. Careless words can damage forever with consequences I may never know about. I know I need to ask God for the strength to make amends to the person I have hurt. Teach me, Lord, to watch my tongue in the future. Please guard my words today, Lord. Seal my lips so that even if the words I speak are true, not to speak them, if they will hurt another's feelings or spread gossip. Careless words can wound souls and spirits. Help me, God, to not let others gossip or speak kindly to me about others. Help me to build up a person with my words rather than tear them down or chiseling them down. Please let all I say be pleasing to the Lord. And I thought, well, that's good. Perhaps you folks need to hear that too. In this magnificent verse of Scripture, it says, and rejoice upon hope of the glory of God. Let's spend a little time now looking at the last part of this magnificent verse. I see the word rejoice. And I want to share with you some synonyms for that word. The word rejoice means to glory. It means to have inner joyful confidence. So I'm going to ask you today, do you really have inner joy and confidence? That's what this verse is telling us. We're to rejoice upon the hope of the glory of God. Perhaps some of you are aware of the fact that we've analyzed Ephesians chapter 1, 17 and 18. We've analyzed some verses of Scripture that we've thought were very, very powerful to us. And in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17, which you remember not too long ago, it says, God of our Lord Jesus Christ, Father of glory, Spirit of wisdom, revelation, full knowledge. When I analyzed this verse with you not too many weeks ago, I presented to you the fact that we have magnificently presented us here that God is our Lord Jesus Christ. The Heavenly Father is our Heavenly Father God, who's the Father of glory. But the three things that I want you to see now is Spirit of wisdom. And the Greek word is S-O-P-H-I-A. You want to write this one down? It is a word which means the application and utilization of truth. Sophia is described as wisdom. Some years ago, as I've already told you, we had a dog that we named Sophia. I'm not sure whether that was really a good name for that dog, but I want you to know that it was a constant reminder to me of the meaning of that word, Sophia, which means wisdom, which means the utilization and application of knowledge. In just a few weeks, we're going to be starting a new study. The new study will be the book of Revelation. We'll do that in a few weeks. But we find the word revelation, which is the Greek word apokalypsis, A-P-O-K-A-L-U-P-S-I-S. This word we're going to be looking at a number of times in coming days, is the word revelation. But also we have on the screen now another word, which is the word full knowledge. And it is the Greek word epignosis, E-P-I-G-N-O-S-I-S, epignosis. Now, what I need to do today is to remind you in these last moments that last Wednesday night, I presented some information. Some of you were here and some of you were not here. Some of you were here and you're not here today. So anyway, I'm aware of the fact that we have a number of people on vacation. One of the things that I tried to get over last Wednesday night was that if you're going to have something in your soul, you have to have what we call capacity for life. What is capacity for life? Capacity for love and life is depending upon having a proper response to God and the Word of God. So I'm going to put these things on the screen for you. If you were here Wednesday night and got it, fine. If you were not here, I'm going to do this rapidly because I want you to see. Capacity for life. Capacity for living is totally dependent upon our response to God. I'm sure that if you heard this and saw it Wednesday night, it's not going to hurt you to see it again, because this is very, very powerful. Capacity for living is totally dependent upon our response to God. The second thing capacity means that we move from instability and insecurity to stability and security. What I need to do is to tell you here that there are many people today who are living a life of instability. This capacity means that we move from instability and insecurity to stability and security. And that takes self-discipline. It takes daily concentration upon God's wonderful Word. And so I'm reminding you again today that it's important that we have capacity. And capacity means that we're moving from instability of life, insecurity of life, to stability and security of life. Number three, if you'll notice on the screen, it says capacity removes roadblocks. What I did there, I put in my notes, the Lord's high road is not designed just for a select few. God's high road is selected for every born-again believer. That means every person in this auditorium today. I also mentioned last Wednesday night, and I repeat, some of the greatest tests, some of the greatest sufferings, some of the greatest problems, some of the greatest difficulties that will ever occur in your life and mine will be just before we move up on the high road of God's grace. If you're advancing, if you're growing in God's grace today, just be aware of the fact that you're going to be facing difficulties and burdens and trials and tests. And all of this is to remind us not to focus our attention upon the trials and tests and burdens and difficulties, but lift our eyes and look upon the Lord and realize that He is saying to us, we know that all things work together for good to those who love the Lord and those who are called according to His purpose. And so I have to put on the screen now for you the next ones, but let's be sure that we get these three down first. Capacity for living is totally dependent upon our response to God. Number two, capacity means that we move from instability and insecurity to stability and security. And number three, capacity removes the roadblocks of life. Number four, capacity means that the priorities in our lives are straight. Capacity means that the priorities are straight. Many of you are taking this down. I'll give you time to do it. Number five, the source of blessings rather than the blessings reveals our occupation with Jesus Christ. Number five is so very powerful. The source of blessings rather than the blessings reveals our occupation with Jesus Christ. There's not a person here today who does not anticipate, look forward to, and be the recipient of blessings. We like blessings. We enjoy blessings in life. But what we have to be very careful about is that when the blessings begin to come our way, whatever they are, that we don't begin to focus our attention on the blessings and take our eyes off of the blessor. And so that's the reason why, number five, the source of blessings rather than the blessings reveals our occupation with Christ. Number six, capacity then is the result of our occupation with Christ and absolutely nothing else. No matter what the difficulties are, the burdens, the trials, the tests that you face and I face right now, let's be assured of the fact that God desires that we stay on the right track and that we move rapidly down the highway of God's grace. I need to tell you something that you and I need to be aware of, that the devil is in the process always of throwing into our lives distractions. It's amazing to me to see that there are distractions that are coming our way. Even now, distractions that you and I may not be fully aware of, but I'm here to tell you that we need to be very, very careful not to get our minds off and become distracted by various circumstances in life. And this can happen to us so easily. So the purpose of this church for 38 years, almost now moving into 39, has been the communication of the Word of God. And so what I see when distractions come our way, it is my responsibility to see to it that there's that the distraction has been removed as soon as possible. So I just want you folks to understand that you need to love your pastor no matter what, whether you agree or disagree with him. You be aware of the fact that the interest that I have for you is that God has given me the responsibility of protecting your souls. And I cannot protect your souls if I allow distractions to come in and move people and get people off on the wrong track and begin to say things and do things that they don't need to be doing. So you need to put this down in your thinking. And that is, we need to be very careful. And sometimes the pastor will make decisions with which you will agree. And there will be times when the pastor will make decisions with which you will not agree. But the reason why oftentimes you do not agree is because you do not have all the facts. And so I'm just here to tell you that before you begin to criticize the pastor, before you begin to draw conclusions, you just back off and let God take care of things, okay? And get away from gossiping and get away from using your tongue in the wrong way. Now, I'm not going to charge you extra for that. Capacity is a result of being occupied with the Lord Jesus Christ and absolutely nothing else. And we have to be careful what we do in life. Number seven. Okay, if you're having any problems right now being out of fellowship, I'll give you time to get back in so that we can go to number seven. Consistent Christian advance keeps the priorities straight. And then we've got two more points. Well, three more points quickly. Number eight, neglecting Bible study results in the focus moving from the blessor to the blessings. When we begin to neglect the study of God's Word, if we're not careful, then our focus will move to the blessings rather than the one who's doing the blessing. Neglecting that Bible study results in the focus moving from the blessor to the blessings. Number nine, love for the blessor will cause the blessed to enjoy the blessings. You have to think about that. Perhaps you thought about it Wednesday night. If you were not here Wednesday night, you can think about it now. Love for the blessor, that's the Lord Jesus Christ, will cause the blessed, that's us, to enjoy the blessings. We're facing, as all of us know, a time in our nation. We're facing a time in our lives of what we could classify as intensified conflict. The conflict grows more strong every day, and you and I must be aware of the fact that we need God and God's Word far more than we need anything else in all the world. And so let's be sure that we focus our attention on the Lord Jesus Christ. Number 10, our confidence is in the source of the blessings in order to enjoy the content of the blessings. If you got that one down, that takes us back to our verse of Scripture. I want you to see it, please. Through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice upon the hope of the glory of God. May we bow for a moment of prayer, please. Father, we're thankful this morning for your grace and blessings. We pray that you will guide us as we live from day to day, that we will determine in our hearts to have capacity, that we will have our souls filled with the truth of your word, and we'll have the thinking, the mind of Jesus Christ, and that we'll live our lives in accordance with your divine plan. For those who hear the message today who have never accepted Jesus Christ as Savior, we are thankful for the fact that when God loved, He loved the world. That when Jesus Christ died, He died for everyone. And the Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So we pray that there will be those who will do just that right now. Because the Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And that means anyone. And so we pray that there will be those who will trust you as Savior, even now. And we thank you for every blessing in Jesus' name. Amen. I thought you might want that.